Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast. It's April 11th, and the sound quality on this doesn't look amazing, but maybe it'll be fine. I don't really know what any of these lines mean, so, and there are some, so that's fantastic.
I think it means you're talking too lowly. I'm turning the gain up, whatever that means. I was told to do that.
Your voice also sounds very quiet. I'm just going to whisper this one. So, it's Holy Week. We have to save our breath to cool our porridge. I don't really know what that means.
What? Where'd you hear that?
I don't know. One of our children says it a lot. So, it's Holy Week, and I already said that.
Did you say it was Holy Week?
Yeah. No. I just thought I would say it again.
Yeah. And this week is much better than it used to be, though. I don't feel nearly as stressed.
Why is that?
Because, I don't know, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, it was me and you and nobody else. And then now we have, like, assistance coming out of our ears and your father, and we have like lots of people who can,
yeah,
who can do things. So I'm basically preaching on Easter Day. I'm not doing any preaching until then. So
that's ridiculous.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I'm not.
What do you? How did you accomplish that feat? Well, and like assistant number one has everything in hand for feet washing.
Yeah, I mean, so, like all the stuff we have to that was like even bigger stresses than preaching more than once more than a Sunday was getting all this stuff together. You got to get the fire ready. You got to figure out the noise for tenebrae. You got to figure out
and consult me. What kind of noise would you like?
Yeah.
And the fire this year is going to be like this. Yeah, they do. That's right. They do all this
stuff that we were the week, but see, we created it. So we should, we didn't create it. We put it in place here at Good Shepherd, so
it's kind of our fault that exists.
Yeah, so we created it for ourselves and then
we gave it to someone else. I mean, I'm gonna be really tired by the end because I'm already tired now, and I'm being out every night is what it. I'm already anticipating Easter Sunday morning for the just
exhaustion
sheer level. But you know what I always forget is going to happen is the adrenaline that will kick in every the beginning of every service.
Yeah. By Easter Day, though, like after the service on Easter, it's a total collapse.
Well, no, then we come home and cook lamb.
Well, I know, but I guess maybe after Easter.
We better cook the lamb on Saturday.
No, you can't pre-cook the lamb.
Oh.
That would be horrible.
And then, also, we have a child turning 18 in the middle of the week. Like, his birthday is this year is on Monday, Thursday, instead of Good Friday, thank heaven. So, we're going to have a little party in the middle of everything. And then a second party later next week.
Yeah.
Because it's not actually a good day. And the kids don't have it off from school. Usually this is our vacation.
Yeah.
But it's so late that they had to have a break earlier in the term. And so now they also have to do school all week. I'm not really sure how this is going to go down. So.
And another complication is that we used to have is that the children had to be carried around. They were small.
Oh, well, that's true. We don't have to do that.
We had to like make little beds in the pews for them.
At the vigil.
Yeah, at the vigil. They had to, like, they're like two or three sleeping usually in the pew.
Yeah.
During the vigil.
So, well, we had a person babysit.
That's right.
We had a beloved person come. But then after a while, she's just like, well, she couldn't do it. And by then, they were old enough to be sleeping in the, like, we didn't put infants down in the pew and let them roll off. or something like that.
I thought we did.
No.
Someone was sitting with him, but...
No, that person stayed at our house, and then... we put toddlers down to sleep in the pew.
Okay. Yeah, well, same thing, though.
No, an infant sleeping in a pew is not the same as a toddler. Like, a toddler can be... A good chunky-sized toddler can be trusted not to roll off and die. But an infant can't. So I trained a little person to be the boat yesterday. We haven't had a boat for a long time.
What is a boat?
The person who carries the incense thing of a bob.
Yeah, there's a little kid. He's supposed to stick right to
the thoroughfare
who
swings the incense.
Swings the incense, right.
So I think you've probably shocked because I posted a picture of you with your thurible yesterday.
Yeah, we're...
People are shocked that you would do that. How are you even an Anglican Protestant? Are you not?
I literally wrote an article about this for CRI about incense and about liturgy and about how it's fine to have high, you can be both
Reformed
theologically. And
how though? Because I feel like people can't. I feel like they think that you're totally denying the faith once delivered to the saints.
There are people who get because. All right, so do we want to talk about this?
Well, we can talk about this, and then we can talk about libs of TikTok. Or something.
In the late Middle Ages, a lot of the forms that are now part of our really really high liturgies were connected with, you know, things like the cult of the saints and worshiping in ways that might be considered or would be considered idolatrous now. Ideas about purgatory and the need for the intercession of all that kind of stuff. The chasuble, for example, all of the forms we have had meanings in the Middle Ages, which made sense for some of the reformers to say, let's not even keep these. Let's do away with them. Although, like regarding the chasuble, like Stephen Ledgewood recently said, that pointed out that Calvin didn't think all the forms were necessarily anti-Christian. He just thought they should be, he wasn't keen on them and worried about the associations they had. But that was 500 years ago. And so the forms of worship don't have, people don't remember
what those
things
mean,
right? So you can wear those things and use those things. And you're not communicating to our culture what you were communicating to the Middle Ages. And you can take the same forms and use them as teaching tools. So the chasuble, that big poncho you put over your thing, we've said this many times, I say this is representative of the righteousness of Christ imputed to us through faith alone. I mean, that's what the chasuble means.
I mean,
I tell my people, and that's fine. These symbols are not static. They don't have to be what. So, but that's one reason people object. And the other objection is because of the regulator principle, which we talked about many times. So the Reformed
it's not
people
in the Bible.
Tend to say if it's not something the Bible prescribes, you can't do it. And Anglicans have always rejected that, as have Lutherans. And so our question is, does this practice conflict with the Bible? Not does the Bible command it, but does this conflict with the Bible? If it conflicts with the Bible, we don't do it.
But I feel like
you
screens...
Don't, if it doesn't, and you say you can't, you're adding a law to the scriptures.
I feel like having screens in church, it adds to the Bible in a really bad way. Like if you have like a jumbotron, you're adding to the Bible, and that's wicked. Nowhere in scripture are you allowed to have a jumbotron.
Right. So if you're
using the whatever other kind, but you have a screen, which probably you do, and a stage. Where is the stage?
Where is the stage in the Bible?
There's a stage.
Yeah. Yeah. Were guitars even invented yet? I mean,
I don't think you can have any of those things.
Stringed instruments, I guess you could say stringed instruments.
What I like really a lot right now, which is really, I didn't expect this, but we got some chairs from a church that didn't want them anymore, choir chairs, and they matched the, you know, blonde wood in our ugly church. So, our Brady Bunch church. Yeah. We now have moved the choir to the center instead of the organist used to say it was the jury box. Like the choir was off in one. They are like a more a cathedral. They are facing each other right up on the chancel so that it feels like the congregation is extended right up to the altar table, whatever you want to call it. So we're not sacrificing Jesus again. We do call it an altar.
Well, there's an altar in heaven.
That's true.
Under which the saints cry out.
Sounds so uncomfortable. So.
How do you stuff them all into the altar?
I don't know.
It makes it large. It would feel large altar.
I think it's a huge. It couldn't possibly be metaphorical or anything. So. I just really like. I think liturgy is really helpful as a catechetical tool. People need to look at things and.
Yeah.
Do walk around and sing and wave their branches and do stuff like that. You can't just sit in a blank room looking at a screen. That's not how things are supposed to go.
Well, there is the idea that like real worship is something that happens in your head, so in your heart. So you don't.
What are you watching?
You don't need to use your body. So, but the problem is that's not human. Human beings don't do that. And it, you know, one of the great things about liturgical worship and the sacraments and all of that is it adds an objective element to what you're doing rather than just subjective. Like if your whole worship is built around how you're thinking and feeling, then that's a huge amount of pressure to placing yourself every Sunday. Like, am I thinking the right way? Am I feeling the right way? No. I mean that. And people use that inner subjective feeling to assess whether or not they're worthy to take communion too. Like I've heard people, you know, it doesn't feel right right now. Ignore. There's an objective thing going on. Jesus is meeting his church.
I mean, there are reasons not to take communion, but it's not.
It's not because you're not having the right feelings, though. If you're actively defiant against Jesus and saying, "I don't love you," and I'm going to go ahead and do these things, and I don't care what you say, then yeah, don't take communion. But if you're struggling with sin or if you have an issue, take communion. You need communion to help you. And it's nice to have the objective element of worship that. Which liturgy gives you, rather than just relying on you having the right.
You should manifest communion.
Right.
You should manifest the vibrations of proper communion for yourself.
I didn't know that's such a big deal.
It's huge.
When you were watching this video just now before the
chicken soup for the soul guy, I didn't know. He apparently manifested chicken soup for the soul.
So, this idea,
the
like
vibrations
the vibration, his... they're literally talking about vibrations as if they're real things. Like, so you, what you think about, what you dwell on, what you imagine, those create vibrations, and the vibrations attract things that are vibrating in the same way.
Yeah, and then so that's how you get money.
Because you think about money all the time, and you vibrate.
What I think is interesting about the way he expressed it is that it's an interesting corruption of Paul's whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is good, think about these things. It's like that's jangling around in the cultural memory somewhere, and so they take
but
that.
Paul's not saying like
he's
think on these things so that you create vibrations.
Yeah, he's totally manifesting wealth for himself while he's in prison, and he probably manifested the gift that the Philippians sent him because he was
thinking on them.
I mean, it's weird, it's a weird thing to It's, but everybody believes it now. Like,
I mean, it's probably true that, okay, so probably what happens is there's really optimistic people who decide to pursue their own goals and they get their goals. And then instead of saying, wow, this happened because I worked hard and got this thing, they say, this happened because I had the right vibrations in
in my
in
heart.
my heart.
Well, this is like, it's having the right vibratory feelings in your heart when you want to go up for communion. You know, like you're it's totally a misplaced, not a subjective thing rather than, I mean, okay, it's a basic truth that if you're a really friendly, happy person and you're kind to other people and you're excited and you work hard, then you're more likely to go make money than if you are depressed all the time and you sit in your house and never leave your house. Like,
But that's not because of
that's not because
vibrations,
of
though. That's
vibrations.
just
That's
because
a true
that's
thing,
a
though. But then
like the Bible literally says that if you're slothful,
you're not going to make any money.
you're gonna be poor,
Yeah.
right? But yeah, but with
At,
and
so
there's
instead of
no
actions having consequences, vibrations have consequences. Like,
just don't understand what I don't understand the I guess it what's the impetus behind creating this kind of idea? What why would you I don't understand the reason for it.
well, I'm pretty sure it's Satan.
Well, okay,
Like,
yes.
Satan is the reason, and I
Because
say that not, I say that in all seriousness,
it's
because if you
magic,
keep
right?
watching these things, eventually you end up with meditations where there's music playing in the background and like somebody's talking in a low voice. And if you listen to those long enough, you end up realizing it's actually really a spiritual thing, and they are invoking powers and principalities that are not vibrations, but are probably root, like unseen spiritual realms. It's like a in entrance into,
The
and
occult,
I mean,
the
I
witchcraft.
grew up in the 80s, so I know I was all where I read this present, I was
Frank Freddy.
worried about the occult, and I was thought it was going to jump out of a from behind a bush and grab me if I wasn't careful. But
This is really,
this
this is
is actually what
the
I think they people in the 80s were worried about this, and now people Christ quote Christians pretend that they can manifest things, but actually, I really think it's
demonic.
demonic.
Yeah, because what you're doing is you're trying to align yourself with the forces of the of nature, right? Of the forces
Yeah,
of the
you
cosmos,
can call it a vibration, but it's actually Satan.
it's like mad. It's like it's what the witch was doing.
And not everything the witch did was like
Powerless
powerless.
because they were
Sometimes,
tapping into the same power, right?
yeah,
Yeah, okay, I
there's
see.
somebody there on the other side of this. And it's not a vibration. It's not a happy, ha-ha. It's somebody who's malign and who wants to drag your soul into hell. That's my diagnosis. That's what I've, so there's only a few Christians out there on YouTube warning off manifestations, manifesting
Yeah.
things, and all of them eventually do bring up the occult. They're like, I was doing this and then it got really dark and I got really freaked out and it felt like there was something else there and so I stopped manifesting. And it's just like you get a blank
That's
gaze
interesting.
on the people who really believe in it. Their faces are, their eyes are glassy.
Like they've been in.
Yeah.
It's not just them.
It's not just them. Yeah. So
That's scary.
yeah, I think it's actually, and in COVID, everybody started, it became a big deal, like a sort of thing that nobody was doing really, or maybe people, you know, Oprah did it, and so a lot of people were kind of maybe doing it, but it jumped out of Oprah's little petri dish into the mainstream,
Yeah.
and
Well,
during COVID.
yeah, so I guess you don't have to. I mean, the whole problem with Christianity is you have to trust in Jesus.
I know it is
You have
such
to
a drag. It's like,
put your whole hope in what he does
and
in
nothing
this,
that you do. Like you
right?
can't do it. You can't do anything, which is so garbage. Everybody knows that that's insane. You have to be able to do something to make things better, whether it be your vibrations, aligning your feet, examining your feelings so that you can affect your thoughts, so that you can create the vibrations that will bring you money is better by far than having to trust.
Ask Jesus to help you with your, yeah. with your finances. And
trust somebody who maybe doesn't want you to be rich. Like, the problem with Jesus is that
he may not want you to
probably be. Doesn't want you to be rich. He probably thinks you can't handle the money. And so every chance he has, he will take it away from you by and use it.
So you've got to circumvent him in some way. And that's where the demons come in.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's very, it works really well. Absolutely. That's where the demons come in. I mean, I do feel bad. People, it's an age old problem. It's like no different than any other religious system where you, if you're going to, you know, slaughter your bull and look at the innards to see if Zeus really wants you to go to war or not. Like, in that case, you can do something. You have some power.
Well, you can persuade Zeus. You can, yeah. You can give him a better
bull.
A bigger bull, right?
So.
Or you can, you know, kill your son or something.
Mm. Whatever it takes.
To get Zeus to change his mind. Right.
So, but the universe, like.
But now the universe.
How
is God,
do you get
right?
the universe to change its
it's
mind.
Like an impersonal. Like
it's if, impersonal.
But originally, like, so right now, the thought is that this is all impersonal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's science here.
Well, yeah, it is. The daily affirmation that you do when you look in the mirror and you're like, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it. That's science. I kid you not. I read like 5 articles explaining how a daily affirmation is scientifically proven to bring you more money and health.
Do they actually use the word science?
Yeah. And I'm like, well, yeah, okay. Again, there is this sort of basic, if you look in the mirror and say, I suck and I'm ugly and I'm going to die right now, you might not go to work. And then it's possible you won't have any money.
Yeah.
Or you could skip the mirror and try praying to God. It's like a prayer to yourself.
Yeah.
It's so weird. But everybody does it now, too. Google daily affirmation. And it was a joke. It was a joke on SNL.
Back in the 90s.
I'm good enough.
I'm good enough. I'm
smart enough.
And God, doggone it. Yeah,
people like me. He was like a sniveling, insecure, wretched,
in a sweater.
Pathetic person in a sweater. But now.
That's who we're supposed to
that's do. That's what we're supposed to do. So.
Yeah, it was funny.
I was like really astonished.
It was a huge. That was one of the funny. It was one of the funny things that SNL did. In the midst of all the unfunny things they do.
They did. Because, like, what Oprah
because
was doing them.
Yeah,
but
it was
a sign that you were, it was a good, what is that culture? The, all little children through the 80s and 90s and today are told you're so special.
Yeah.
Your self-esteem.
Right.
Like, the self-esteem
Boy,
culture
is that
was
morphed into something sick Satan. And wrong.
Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah, but weren't children in the 80s told that they should have a good self-esteem?
Yeah.
And that was funny because it was stupid. Everybody did it because it was funny. And the outflow of that is transgenderism in the schools.
Well, but yeah, because once you took that turn where it's all ground. It's okay, I can feel us like gravitating toward culture, maybe. So.
Oh, wait. But oh, no.
It's the idea, right?
You can't talk about it every week.
Because, but that's the thing, right? If you take that turn, then the inner self, you were predicating that on the idea that your inner self is good, necessarily good. And so, therefore, whatever your inner self wants to do is also wonderful.
Well, but your inner self is also like sad because it's poor and it doesn't look very nice. So what do you do then? Like you want to be happy and you want to have stuff. So you have to somehow change. You have to have a change. And the way you do that is to look in the mirror and tell yourself to look in the mirror and lie. So there's videos on YouTube of people trying to do them, but they have a hard time defending it because they're like, laughing. Oh, this is sucks because I feel stupid saying this blatantly false statement to myself in the mirror. Nevertheless, they persist.
What do they say? Like, I'm rich?
Yeah, because you have to say it in the present tense.
I have lots of money.
What it feels like for me to have $100,000 is it feels wonderful. I love living the life that I am living with $100,000. Something like that.
And that's, and then you
see, you don't have $100,000. Right, you have no dollars. Those send
$100,000 vibrations out into the
and then you,
cosmos.
And it comes to you. Comes back to you. Okay. So you lie, but it feels garbage to look in the mirror and lie.
That's exact. Okay, so you can slap Jesus' name on that and just say you're claiming.
Well, that's blessing, what right? Joel Osteen is like. I declare.
Okay. And so it works because it
always works
because both the secular version and the quote unquote Christian version are appealing to demons.
Yeah, so, I think so. I think that they're both. That's why they work. Right. I mean. I can't think of any. But also sometimes they don't work.
Yeah.
And then that's your fault.
Right. I mean, so, I guess, yeah, because how you hear about the people, like, in the name of claimant world, the gospel, prosperity gospel world, you think it works because you see the guys who are at the top of the pyramid scheme with the, with their sneakers, and they're rich because they're getting the money from everybody else. They've manifested everyone else's money.
The chicken soup for the soul guy takes everybody's money at this conference. Well, yeah, and he's like, you could be like me. Well, no, because they gave you all their cash. They gave you all their money. It's Rachel Hollis. You can be like me. My conference to tell you how to be like me is
costs $200.
No. My marriage conference right before I get a divorce is $1,000, not including the hotels.
Oh my goodness. The people who have to ask for a refund for that, like,
they should have.
Because she got a divorce.
So yeah, she manifested everybody.
And she had money. To know that there was a problem in her marriage before that conference.
I can't believe they were giving, they had a marriage podcast full of advice. About such a scam.
We should do that. We should start. We should monetize our podcast. Maybe we'll pay, and then we should give marriage advice. I mean, is it like manifesting a good marriage? Is that what it like? Is it like
if you? No, it had things like. I mean, they. I feel it's heartbreaking. They talked a lot about how to have awesome sex, which clearly after they got divorced, that wasn't, they had good communication, how to communicate really well, also a big lie, how to work out your schedule, raise kids, like everything
that people wanted.
It was how to, everything they were telling people how to do that, and it was a lot of pop psychological, you know, so that would be sort of true, wouldn't necessarily be wrong, but who even knows,
right?
And then, $1,000 to do it. That's
crazy. That's just, I mean, so wow. You must be rich. Really, like, imagine, like, okay, either you have lots of money to spend and been dropping $1,000 on a marriage conference with Rachel Hollis is no big deal. Or you're, like, in really desperate straits with your marriage. And you think, okay, I've got to do whatever I can do.
And this is
$1,000 to my credit card bill because I've got to go.
This is the thing that I do, though. Like,
It's kind of sad that people did. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're
for free.
Yeah. You can, like most good churches, if you go to a good church, you could probably talk to your pastor about
your marriage.
About your marriage. He might be able to help you.
No. No, he's not able to help you. He's like, he's
literally. Rather than pay $1,000 per shot. I mean, I'm pretty sure from what I've heard, anyway. Of her, that literally everything she said in that conference was probably available in some book somewhere for $20
or less, or online. Right. You could just Google,
right? But I guess that marked me up as one of someone who's never understood the going places and seeing things thing. Like, even when I was a kid, when I wasn't a Christian, my friends would say, "Hey, we're going to the AC/DC's in town." And I loved AC/DC, we're gonna go see this concert. Why would you go to a concert? You get a good stereo system, which we had, and buy the tape. The tape is the old-fashioned word for
Streaming.
Something you put into another machine so you can hear it play.
No, that.
So, why spend? Because the concert tickets, like, you could spend $100 on a car. Why do that? Why not just buy the tape for $5?
Well, so we have a big, just to go totally off topic, we have in our van, the battery died, and so the when we re got it to go again, the radio didn't do whatever it's saying, and we have five CDs. The only five CDs that we love as a family are stuck in the van, and we can't get them out. And so the children were on YouTube looking for the music that they love from their childhood, but they didn't know the names of any of the songs. So they were just like Googling stray lines and different songs, and they thought it didn't exist. So I typed in the name of one of it, and the song came up, and they were like, "Oh, it's our song." You guys are stupid. But also, then I said, "Why don't you restart the van and reprogram the radio or whatever that thing is called, and get the CDs out?" And they thought that was pretty epic too. Like, is that something you can do? Can you recover
You can get
something
them.
out of a machine once the machine has locked you away from itself?
I think there's a code you have to push in to get back into the
Yeah.
machine,
Well,
whatever the
and
code
that's
is.
the code is written somewhere, is in a special place. So
But
I agree with you. I don't like going places, and I wouldn't want to go to a concert or a conference where somebody tells me stuff.
that you can literally watch 24 hours after the conference is over because they put the talks up on the anything. And if they don't, I'm almost positive everything that that person said is available somewhere else.
It's pro but
So
then you have to
I don't
dig for
understand.
it.
Well, but that it takes,
And
but
may
yes,
people
but you can
like to
dig for it for
follow a
free.
person. Like you put you vibe you
Your vibrations mean message you have the person you're.
yes. You feel an emotional connection to Rachel Hollis and are like, you know what? I've loved everything she's done. I loved her self-published novels, for example, called Party Girl. And I loved her.
What were they
I
about?
loved Girl, Wash Your Face. I loved that book. I'm kidding, obviously. And I watch her Rach talk. And I listen to all her talk,
So
and I
she's
buy
because she's
her
selling a
stuff.
lifestyle. She's selling like herself, like as a lifestyle.
So
And so you, and so by watching her stuff,
then when your
you
marriage is in trouble, you're like, I need help.
your Rachel
I don't
Hollis
want
fix.
God. Clearly, that's not helpful to me. I could not possibly darken the door of a church for help, to admit help from a divine being who possibly knows something more than I don't know. So I'm going to pay $1,000, $1,000 plus airfare and hotel to go to a conference after which
I'll learn how
Rach
to.
will divorce her husband pronto. I love that. It's like my favorite thing.
I'm just I yeah that's I don't understand. I mean I'm speaking also as someone who really loved. I mean, I do understand there's times you have to have meetings, like you have to get like we I suppose we have to have the Synod that's coming up after much of Easter because one of our people's being
I don't know that you have
this
to.
is being ordained and you actually literally have to lay hands on the guy's head, so there has to be
There has to
some
be
kind of
some
gathering
meeting.
together. But I
Well, and
really
there
did
has to be church on Sunday morning.
appreciate the streamlining of meetings that took place on during COVID. Like, no, yeah, you have to be in church. I get that. God says that, the word literally means assembly, so you gotta be in church.
And people should go to school and their jobs. So you do have to go to those
No,
places.
yeah, but I loved the streamlining of meetings that took place during COVID, where like right now our vestry is meeting exclusively on
Zoom.
Zoom. We don't have in-person meetings anymore, and that takes a lot of pressure off the meeting. It's not a hassle anymore just to go home and turn on your Zoom and talk
And do the business
and
and
do
then
the
turn it
business.
off. It's not a fellowship time.
There is fellowship time at our church, but it's not, it doesn't have to be every time. You can just actually get business done at business meetings, and I like that. I think it's great. So, I mean, the less gathering people together for extraneous things, the better, in my
You're such a curmudgeon.
opinion.
I'm gonna find a conference for us to go to, and I'm gonna like put it in our budget, and we're gonna pay
What?
money, and we're gonna go
Why?
and listen
Why
to
would we do
somebody.
that? Why would we do that?
I don't know. I'm
We
gonna.
did. Okay, now I also remember, like, in the beginning of the Anglican Wars. Okay, there was not Zoom, and there wasn't a lot of these conferences weren't. I don't think they were ever videoed. So, like, the AAC would, the Anglican American Council, would put on a conference, like, in the early 2000s,
So it was not
and you'd
early
go.
mere Anglicanism. You could go and
Yeah.
meet other
And
like-minded
there
Anglicans.
wasn't a video put out, or if there was, it was expensive and you had to pay for it. So there was a reason to go, because you're in a war and you're being besieged by demons, and so you go, and so you want to go and meet with other people who are being besieged by demons. So there was a reason for that. But in general, just going to a concert or going to a conference about marriage by Rachel Hollis, no, you can get. Yeah, and there's this, well, someone's coming to Binghamton. I forgot who it is, around the area, and people are really excited about it,
Oh, really?
like a musician person. I forgot who it is.
That happens every weekend.
Yeah, and people are
We have
excited. No, it's okay. The auditorium that we have in Binghamton is like a dark, dank.
I've never been to that thing, have I?
You have.
I like going to the opera. I like smaller gatherings of musical
See,
in-person
even then, I
gatherings.
think I thought I'd be like, I'd like to be a kind of person who would like to go to the opera, but I went to the opera when our daughter was in it.
I loved that so
It
much.
was very beautiful, but you could also hear it on
No, no,
online.
no, no.
You can go to YouTube
No, it was totally
and punch
different in
in, what's the
person.
name of the opera?
Sor
So,
Angelica.
yeah, type that in,
No, it's not the
turn up
same at
the
all.
volume,
No.
and it sounds exactly the same. And
It
you get the
doesn't.
you get,
My
same thing.
gosh. No, that you're wrong about that. Live music is an important part of the human experience
It doesn't have to be,
because
though.
there are literally vibrations when music happens in person. Like the music vibrates. And you don't get more money from doing that. You actually
Music
get more,
vibrates when you
but
listen to it on YouTube too. It
not
vibrates.
the
Yes,
same
it
way.
does. Or you well get good speakers for your computer, like really good ones, and then make sure you get
I
the
disagree on that.
digital.
I think going in person to the opera and the symphony is really good, but that's where I draw the line. After that, I'm done. I'm out. I don't want to go watch
It's
my
just the
favorite.
hassle. You gotta get the ticket, you gotta get in the car, you gotta get dressed out of your pajamas, you gotta go, I mean, not in that order. Hopefully you do it in a different order. And then you go, then you have to go to the thing, the hall, wherever it is, and you have to find a seat.
You
You
are
have to sit
really a bad
down,
person.
and then you just sit there.
And you know
What,
what? You're.
you can't bring any eater anything to eat or drink into the concert hall, right? So you're just sitting there with mouth dry, hungry.
Some people go
Where,
out to
but
dinner
at
beforehand.
home, you could have a meal and sit there and listen to the Sor Angelica, if you want to do that. You can and you could blast it through your house while you're eating something. If you miss something because you're bored, you can go re rewind it and listen to it again.
That rewinding is also not a thing.
You don't rewind anymore, do you?
So, well, I feel like we've really said all we have to say. And we should move on with the week because otherwise we're just going to keep complaining. What I would like to do right now is manifest everybody coming to church. I'm sending
Yeah.
out my vibrations.
Everything I've said about not gathering doesn't apply to church.
And I hope that everyone comes to all the services and has a good time because it's going to be so fun. And that way we'll see you in person and not see you online. Well, we'd love to see you online too. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe we'll be back next week.